All right, here we are. Hit the Christmas season. Next week, we will celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. And I'm going to start a series now because we usually end up having a... last year, we had a great musical presentation. I mean, you remember that. We did that the Sunday before. And I believe that there's plans in the works to begin to do that again. Next year, you'll probably get some more announcements from people who wanted to do that. We had some readings, we had some dance, we had a whole bunch of things. You guys remember that from last year? Wasn't that an awesome service? So hopefully we'll be able to do that again this year. And then we'll have our Christmas Eve service once again. And I'll tell you, before we know it, we'll turn around and 2013 will be facing us right in the face. And we'll say like we do every year, man, this year it's going to be different, won't we? Or where did last year go? I've already said it. I've said, man, this is the fastest year of my life. You know when else I said that? Last year. So we continue in this pattern constantly and constantly of dealing with things. So I want to say, did you have a good Thanksgiving? Good. It was a neat service last week. A lot of times I get up here and I'm not sure how it's going to be received. It's really kind of neat to see how people got text, emails, cards, letters, vice versa for just thank yous. Wasn't that cool? Wasn't that cool just to send and receive and hear thank you? One thing I'm going to add to the list that I'm thankful for, Tom was back there, one of our trustees, making sure things are going on, and they have one heater working now. So by the time I finish up, we might get a little toasty, but that's good. If you haven't been to church in a while and you said, if I go to church, hell will freeze over. Not hell, but maybe the church. So that's okay. We're all good. We love you, and we're glad to go along with you. I already said that if I became a pastor, the roof would cave in. And actually, one of the first churches I ever was at, a tornado hit the church and ripped the roof off of it. So welcome to Haven Community Church, and we'll all be good. But we are glad that you're here. Anybody relate to these two terms, Christmas and chaos? Did that seem like your schedule? But he was sharing some of the things there, all those different things that are going on. I included an interesting picture on the front of your bulletin. I made it kind of a little Courier and Ive-ish. And you can see there's another picture up here of a turkey carcass. Okay, you know, last week I had a nice big turkey, and it looked real nice to eat into. How many of you would like some of this turkey right now? How many would like more turkey? How many have had your fill of turkey for a while? Okay, many of us have had turkey. It was good. I enjoyed Thanksgiving, got still, and was still for several hours and did not move. It was nice. The trick defense set into my body and just assisted the rest of my slothdom, I guess we would say. But we end up in a point now that we have in your bulletin that the turkey, I'm going to skip the question. I'm going to come back to the question in a second. But we have the turkey. The turkey is done. For many of us, how many went Friday shopping? Anybody? Anybody raise your hand? Which has now become Thursday night shopping, which was rather interesting. Melissa and I always go. We get some good stuff, but a lot of times we get to spend time together and run around and do that kind of stuff. About middle of the night, she was looking somewhere in Towson or White Marsh Town Center. I got really nice and still it wasn't the one that she put on Facebook. That was another place. But I got one of those massage chairs. I actually paid the dollar for the massage for 3 minutes. And next thing I know, it's about 45 minutes later, and Melissa called my phone 3 times wondering where I was. I was sleeping. I've officially become my father. I can sleep anywhere at any time. And we have these things. So the thankfulness, as you see people, is forgotten. Many of us have gone back, and tomorrow we have filled it. We're much like that turkey carcass. We've eaten it. We've done. We were thrilled to be there. One of the things we do with our family every year is we go around from starting with the youngest to the oldest and saying what they're thankful for. And it's always an interesting expression that we have. What I put here on your list, you have spiritual. Spiritual trick defense is beginning to set in. We're much like this person. A lot of times we get a lot of people that really want to reconnect to God during this time, but it seems like we have the schedules that are just like they are, and things get lost, and we start to get sometimes spiritually complacent because we've got that deadline of the 25th to make sure we have all the presents we need, right? And our other schedules aren't being very very cooperative. Our scripture reading may be on the side. Our prayer life may be a little bit less on the side because we need to fill things in. Our workouts, now that we can put on some more clothing, we can go away. We can drop off those workouts for another couple months or so. These are all different types of things. Yes, the Christmas season is rolling and is in full swing. Now I want to go back up and I want to ask you a quick question. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever had a time where you got some really good, useful information, but it was too late? Anybody get that really good, useful language? Useful information? There's a great story about the attack on Pearl Harbor, how they had the attack, and they had to send it Western Union because there were sunspots, and it was interfering with the connection at the time. And just as the plane started to bomb, the Western Union delivery boy came over the hill and saw just the information, just too late. Am I right? And how many of you have ever had information too late? Well, let me give you a for instance. Anybody remember high school? Now, some of you guys may relate to this a little bit better, but you may remember in high school where you were like, you wanted to ask out that girl or you ask out that person and you get your nerve up. You know, that was like a big deal, getting your nerve up. Remember that? It was like you were nervous, they were nervous, or guy, you wanted to ask a guy out and was really, really nervous. Some of you may still be there and you may be 50, I don't know. But there's that nervousness. So you get up, you get everything together and you go over to that young lady and say, would you like to go out with me? And they're like, no. And then you go back to your friend and you say, oh, by the way, she can't stand you. You know, that would have been good information to know before you made a complete fool of yourself, am I right? Or, for instance, I want to show you a picture of me I took a couple months ago. Ready for this picture? Like that right there? There we go. See what's in the background? See, I actually Facebooked that, I got pulled over. And wouldn't anybody ever been pulled over in a car? Anybody's been pulled over? Wouldn't it have been nice to know? Like, can you imagine you're sitting there at a car, and then all of a sudden somebody comes who's ahead of you and goes in reverse and goes, hey, I should have warned you that somebody's coming. It's right there. Wouldn't that have been good to know? So you wouldn't have got a ticket? Wouldn't that be nice? I would love that. You know, we all love when the people flick the lights, and we go, whew. If you really want everybody to freak out and slow down, just start flicking your lights, and people will just put on the brake. I mean, out of anywhere. And we have that. So I want to discuss a little bit today of some information that we need information that is good, but often is given too late. Now I'm going to tell you today is a message that in looking at our Christmas kind of season, that I would have given either the Sunday before or Christmas Eve. For instance, how many of you have ever heard a message about leaving Christ out of Christmas? Anybody? Okay, well, guess what? That's usually what we give, and when is it usually? On Christmas Eve. And in some ways, here we are in the Christmas season. By the time Christmas Eve comes here, it's already done and ready. So I just kind of want to share with you this message. This message is going to be right to the point, and it's simply this. Here you go. It's simply this message right here. If you are not extremely careful in the next few weeks, you will miss Christ in Christmas if you're not extremely careful. Now, why do I say that? You know, because I've seen and I've experienced and I'm participating, several times about how Christmas is commercialized now, right? And many of us see that, and we've heard that, and we've been wrapped up into it. Do you know that in 1659, in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, Christmas was made illegal? Do you know that? Did anybody know that? You can go ahead and you can get out your phones or whatever else, and by all means, you can also, I've shared this before, click on that little QR code and be able to go on there and find out what's there. On December 25th, 1659, a law was passed by the General Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony requiring a 5-shilling fine from anyone caught, quote, observing any such day as Christmas or the like, either by forbearing of labor, feasting, or any way. The reason why it was made illegal was because the people of this time, a Puritan group, still some of the same ones that we celebrated just the other day, they came over on the Mayflower, some of that attitude, made it against the law. They were disgusted by the way Christmas had become commercialized in that day. So they made it illegal. It was illegal until about 1681. That's a good chunk without any Christmas presents, am I right? And you could have to pay 5 shillings, and I have a picture of the original notice there. Christmas having been deemed a sacrilege, the exchanging of gifts and greetings, fine clothing, and all these other kinds of things. And similar satanic practices are hereby forbidden. And did you love, like, they plop the forbidden real there. They wanted to make sure you said that. And the offender would have to pay a fine of 5 shillings. Anybody know how much 5 shillings is? I would like to know by today's standards. Now, in Christianity Today, magazine Christianity Today, anybody ever looked at that? Back in 1993, a writer wrote an article, and he quoted this. His article was called, "Let the Pagans Have the Holiday," talking about Christmas. And in sharing with us, he said that the secular continue on, and he says this. Some outsiders glimpse our own dilemma. And he continues on. Let me get to this last page here. And he said, we don't need to worry about Christmas. To this day, Christian worship is marked more by Easter. And for him, he says, give Christmas to the pagans and let us keep Easter. Was a quote from 1983. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not one of those people who says abandon Christmas. I love it. I enjoy it. I like my presents. I like giving presents. I like Christmas carols. I will listen to Bing Crosby from here on out. I will listen to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I find that to be humorous. Even though it's been around for 400 years, I enjoy it. I will watch all the Rudolph and Frosty and all those shows a billion times. Not like when we were kids when we had to wait for it to come on CBS. Now my kids want it on 24/7, 365. And we can watch that. But I love Christmas, but I definitely don't subscribe to abandoning it. But I got to tell you, I am concerned. As I look around, I see a Christmas obsession. We're obsessed with religious tradition. We want the hymns. We want the things like that. We like all those other kinds of things about Christmas, which are good things, not bad things. But what I see ultimately is we have an issue. And our issue is that it is possible to celebrate Christmas without celebrating Jesus. Now, I wanted to put this today, as I said, because before we know it, Christmas Eve will be here. I remember as a kid counting down Advent Sundays, and I counted down Advent, and we're supposed to count down to the birth of our Lord, but often I counted down how many more days do I get presents, right? And some of us may still do that today, or how many days do I have to get all the presents? And in doing some of this, I believe we need to be intentional about who Jesus is and in who we need and how we need to get hold of him. So what I want to do is I want to share, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2 is this very, very familiar story of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to it. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can follow along up here, or I was so good to put it in your bulletin this week, and you can follow along right from the bulletin. And it's one that is very, very familiar. We're going to just read the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2, and it's about the birth of Jesus. So, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a son and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, how many of you have heard that several times? If you watch the Peanuts Christmas, you have them singing and humming while that's given. This is a super famous section of Scripture. And what it does, it pinpoints someone and some ones who I believe miss Christmas and in many ways are a lot like me when we look at this. And so we're going to start today with one person. Now you can see we're moving along. We're going to move along today, and you're glad, so we all don't get frozen, but we're going to move along. Just I want the core of the message just to be here as we look at this today. So the first person we're going to talk about today is this person who's never actually talked about the Scripture, and that's the innkeeper. Okay, probably the most beaten up person in Scripture that isn't even there, but just assumed to be there. An innkeeper. Never sees an innkeeper in the Scripture, just talks about that there was an inn. So the assumption is that there was a innkeeper. There we go. It was probably more like a bed and breakfast kind of deal, that people had families, had rooms, and people stayed there. Now, we've got to look back to this section of Scripture. I always like to know why people do the way that they are and why they do the things that they do. For instance, why do people want to beat people up over a doll in an aisle for a deal. You know what I mean? I never understand this kind of stuff. But I want to know why people do the things that they do. And so let's look at why the innkeeper made the decision that he did. Number one that I believe he made the decision that he did is because it was the busiest time of the year, maybe for his entire life. What we have from history is we learn that according to the Scripture, that Caesar Augustus had issued a decree and wanted a census. Now, the reason why he wanted a census was so he could tax the people. Now, we have this whole thing. This is the first when Quirinius was governor. What we know from extra history is that at this time, Palestine had been taken over by Caesar, and this is the first time they had been taxed around 6 AD. And so with them being taxed, they needed everybody to go back to their own home area. And so what you have a small town, let's say like Northeast, maybe like just Northeast proper, or Rising Sun proper, or even Elkton proper, just small, right in the middle. Now, can you imagine if you ask every person who is still living that has been born from that town to come with them and their family and fill the town? What would that effect have on our population? What would it do? It would fill it out. And there were people everywhere, hundreds of thousands. I mean, it could be a million people packed into this little tiny farm town that was there. And so here they come, Mary and Joseph. She is extremely pregnant. And can you imagine the bustle that was going on in the midst of these things. Do I have any other sheets back there? I think I might have left a sheet back there. If not, it's all good. So here we are. We're looking at this, and she goes ahead, and they come to the town. They come to the area, and here they are. It is the busiest time of year. Now, how many of you believe this is the busiest time of the year? Can you check in the bag for me? How many think this is the most hectic time of the year? Anybody? I do. I think it's an extremely, extremely hectic time and busy time of the year. When we look at this, we have Max Lucado. And Max Lucado, no, that's good. We're good. Okay, good. Thank you, Lisa. Nice to be loved. So as we look at this, we have this innkeeper who was in the busiest time of his life. And give me one quick second. I got to look something up here. And Max Lucado puts this in a book called God Came Near, and he talks about how the noise and the bustle of store owners, that every bed was taken. He said, did anyone stop to mention or even think about the young couple, that she was extremely pregnant? Now, ladies, how many of you have been extremely pregnant? Okay. How many of you would like to get on the back of a donkey? How many of you would like to get anywhere near a donkey? How many would like your husband to be the one riding, taking the donkey over a very rapid place? And let's say now that that you ended up on this donkey, and then all of a sudden you get to this place and you say, oh, it's time for the baby to come, and you have no room in the local hotel. How happy are you now? I bet you she was chewing Joseph's ear. I will guarantee you that. It was a busy, busy, crazy time in the life of Mary and Joseph and everybody else around. Here's the census that's packed. People poured into Jerusalem. Poured into Jerusalem. Time and time again. I want you to just think real quick about what it's like, what it may be like to experience that. And yet, nobody stopped to pay any attention to what was going on. I mean, as I said, how many times did this child, did the innkeeper see person after person after person after person after person? Mary had this quote about that her son was going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all of a sudden, here we are. Does this seem like to be a very fitting area? Max Lucado says in his book, nobody stopped to check. Nobody gave any heed to what occurred. Nobody actually seemed to care. They were just too busy. The impossible had happened. God as a baby. When I think time and time again, as I look into these events, I wonder that if that's my Christmas season itself. That time and time again, I just get busy and just lose God coming near in the midst of this world. Think about that for yourselves. Think about, are we like that? You know, I don't believe that the innkeeper was an evil person. There were people in from everywhere. He was probably thoroughly excited and thrilled. This was probably, can you imagine the events of the day? Can you imagine the people gathering around the dinner table the night before and saying, oh my gosh, we are going to make more money. This is going to be the most exciting time that has ever occurred before. This is a good time to be innkeepers. The businesses and the shops are just filling out, packing the places so that they can go ahead and meet this increasing need. And yet in the midst of it, this young couple and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is simply lost in the shuffle. You see, I do believe, though, that we learned something about the innkeeper. I don't think he was just a harsh person. I think he was just busy. Don't you? I mean, think about it. What did he give to him? A manger. You know, I don't think he said, psh, you're pregnant. Go in the barn. You know, I don't think that's what he said. I think he probably said, whoa, we have nothing to do, but here, go ahead and take this. So I think one of the next things that we find about this innkeeper is that this innkeeper was not evil and uncaring, but maybe he gave what he had, and here's one of the things he did. He gave out of availability, not out of sacrifice. Now, I want you to just stop right now and ask yourself a question. When have you given out of availability, and when have you given out of sacrifice? Just close your eyes real quick and just think, when have I given out of sacrifice? You see, the innkeeper, again, is not ruthless. He's not vicious. He's just busy. How many of you got a busy week this week? How many had a busy week last week? How many going to have a busy week probably 3 weeks from now? How many going to have a busy next year? How many going to wake up and say, I'm not doing this anymore? And what do? It seems like it gets busier and busier and busier and busier, and we never just have time to stop and just look across. I think the reason why every year when we sit down at our Thanksgiving table with just our immediate family and go around the table from the youngest to the oldest and just take time to share what's important to us, I think one of the reasons why it's emotional and important is because we just don't do it, not because we don't love them, going back to what we were dealing with last week on things, but just because we are too stinking busy. And too busy for everything in life. Too busy for each other. Look at what occurred here in Luke chapter 2. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, and she wrapped him into cloths and placed him in a manger. We've made that so poetic, even that, haven't we? That they laid him in a manger. Can you imagine if I said to you, hey, I want to tell you something, Melissa had a baby, and we laid it in the dog dish? What would you say to me? Am I insane? What am I? You did what? I'd have social services calling me right away, wouldn't they? Laid it in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a big question. Because guess what? I'm sure that even though the innkeeper isn't evil and malicious, I do believe that the innkeeper had a nice place to lay his head that night. You think? You think that the innkeeper's kids, they may have bunked together just to get another room out of there, but do you think that maybe there was room, but there was a certain area that he had closed off to anybody? I want you to look at your last year. And I want you to ask yourself, has there been areas because of busyness, not because of maliciousness, but because of busyness that you just closed off to God? You just said, I'm not making room there in my life because that's just too busy as it is. If I added you into that area, God, what would happen? Where would that put me? Just too busy. You see, they missed the most important event in human history. The most important event in all of human history. They missed because they didn't take time to make any room. They gave out of availability and not sacrifice. Now, I ask you to stop and think about when you've given out of availability and not sacrifice. Now, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to go back, and I want you to think, when in your life have you received something that was given out of sacrifice or that you extended a gift out of sacrifice? Just close your eyes and take a couple brief seconds to go ahead and do that right now. As we look, Max Lucado gave us this scene once again that I shared a couple brief parts of. The noise and the bustle began earlier than usual in the village. As night gave way to dawn, people were already on the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on the corners on the most heavily traveled avenues. Store owners were unlocking their doors to their shops. Children were awakened by the excited barking of street dogs and the complaints of dogs pulling carts. The owner of the inn had awakened earlier than most in the town. After all, the inn was full and all the beds taken. Every available mat or blanket had been put to use. Soon all the customers would be stirring and there would be lots of work to do. One's imagination is kindled thinking about the conversation the innkeeper and his family had, as I just mentioned, at the breakfast table. Did anyone mention the arrival of a young couple the night before? Did anyone perhaps comment on the pregnant girl on a donkey? Perhaps someone raised the subject, but at best it was raised, not discussed. There was nothing novel about them. They were possibly one of the several families that were just turned away that night. Besides, who had time to talk about them when there was so much excitement in the air? Augustus did the economy of Bethlehem a major favor when he decreed that a census should be taken. Who could remember when such commerce hit the village? No, it's doubtful that anyone mentioned the couple's arrival or wondered about the condition of the girl at all. They were too busy. The day was upon them. The day's bread had to be made. The morning chores had to be done. There was too much to do to imagine that the impossible had occurred. What's that impossible? That God had entered the world as a baby. You see, but we can't just beat up the innkeeper, can we? Can we just beat up the innkeeper? Let's look at some of the other people. Let's look at the people. And the issue with the people is that they were self-centered and focused. Boy, does that tell you. How many people went out the other day for Black Friday? Anybody, how many went out? Did you see any self-centered people out there? I saw self-centered people all around the place. You could, I mean, you realize most of that started right after Thanksgiving. I pulled in and I was pulling in someplace in the Bel Air down there by the Target, and I had three guys walk in front of the car. One just walked like this, like I was supposed to stop my car. And I said something like, I'm going to hit you. Happy Thanksgiving, right? Turkey. But that's what happens. I think one of the things that worries me the most about now is there's this growing attitude that it's all about me. That a teenage, maybe college age boy can walk across the road where there's major traffic and expect everybody to just stop and bow at his graces because he's walking. And there's that something in me that says, it's my road, get off before I hit you. And then I go and say, no, that's my parking spot. You love those days where you're like jostling in the aisle for parking spots and you zoom up and put on your blinker? You know, years ago when Jill, my sister, and my grandmother and I went shopping, I was in high school, and we decided to go up to Kirkwood Highway like the week, couple days before Christmas to get Mom and Dad a gift. And we ended up getting them this really nice rocking chair years ago. And we went looking, and we were right in there in Price's Corners area, and you guys know how wonderful that is to get in and out of, am I right? Now add that to when Augustus creates a census and everybody has to go back to Kirkwood Highway. That's what it was. And you're pulling up, and you're pulling up. I am pulling up, and this person takes this large vehicle and tries to cram in a spot that I couldn't put that was about the size of a bikini. You know what I mean? And so I just sat there. Then it was actually a lady who was driving. She starts yelling at me. Now, I'm in the middle there. Now, this is like 20-some years ago, and I still remember this. And as she's there, I'm yelling. I mean, she's yelling at me. She goes and parks because somehow she got through there on the other side and got through. She comes off. She stands in front of my car and goes, starts yelling at me again. So I did what every good young Christian man did. I decided to say, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. No, thank you. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, you have a great day. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. And then when she left, I called her not a very nice name. So, and my grandmother, who was in her 80s at the time, laughed like crazy. She thought that was one of the funniest things. She goes, my, she has a problem, doesn't she? I said, yes, she does, my mom. You know, what is it in us that makes us lose our minds? You know, we saw a card in some humorous thing, and it had a cartoon Jesus on the front, and it said, happy birthday to me, Merry Christmas to you. And I'm thinking, is this, you know, if I had a birthday party and everybody celebrated but me, and everybody celebrated everything else but me, and actually people worked hard to keep me out of my own birthday, I'd be a little ticked off. But yet, so many times we just continue on. There's stuff to be done. We're busy. You see, the people of the town were so self-focused. Look at this. And everyone went to the town to register. I put this Max Lucado verse in your scripture, in your bulletin today. Because let's look at this. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God out into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all, here's that word again, too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. And he ends this by saying, little has changed over the last 2,000 years, has it? Like I said, this is something that I want to do on Christmas. I'm ready to light candles and sing Silent Night. But I really believe that we need to really, really be intentional about putting Jesus back in His birthday. You know, my daughter Hannah, she has a birthday in January. And after Christmas is over, we will hear about it every day until her birthday. And she's really good because she'll have the parties going for the week before, and she will stretch that sucker out for a couple weeks afterwards. And you know, in the original Christmas season, that's what they did. You ever sang the 12 Days of Christmas? We're not talking about the Bob and Doug McKenzie version, but we're talking about the one, the partridge in a pear tree. All that is about the season of Christmas. That there's a continual season of Christmas. That we should celebrate this great day of our Lord. You see, think of us and our world, just as Lucado said, not much has changed. Think of our world, our families, our schools, our church. And as I think about that, I realize that we are consumed with activities. Not with bad things, but just with busy things. Just busy things that distract us. And if we are not careful, we will miss Christ in Christmas. Look at what Proverbs 3:6 says. In everything you do, put God where? First. And He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. You know, the goal of Satan is this. The goal of Satan is not to make you bad. I truly believe this. The goal of Satan is not to make you bad. The goal of Satan is to make you busy. It's to keep you distracted. It's to keep you from taking time without the Lord. It's to keep you from taking a celebration of the Lord and removing that. Because guess what? By the 23rd and 24th, you'll realize, like I do every year, that in the work of the Lord and getting ready for the events of Christmas and Advent and all that kind of stuff, that I've missed Jesus in the season. Think about your Christmas last year. How front and center was Christ throughout the Christmas season? And so this year, I don't want it to be that way. And I really want to look at myself. I want to adjust. I want to be intentional about really making sure that Jesus is in my life every day, that I am celebrating Him and His season. See, many of us are no different and worse than the innkeeper and the others. But let's not abolish or change Christmas parties. Anybody like Christmas parties? I do. Anybody like getting Christmas cards? It's kind of cool. My mom used to always cut them up and make placemats. Anybody else has done that? Okay. There's an idea for you this year, okay? I like when the Christmas lights are on. I like the stupid little plastic people that I drive my family crazy with, or the blow-up ones. I like those stupid things. I like Christmas. But I really need to put Him center. We shouldn't do around that. Our life is full, but our life should be filled with Jesus. So what I want you to do, I want to give you homework today. This is a different type of service, right? Different type of service for me. I want you to go ahead and add something to your schedule. Aren't you excited? I want you to add something. And here's the cool thing. I'm going to give you what to add. Now, many of you have a little green sheet in your bulletin. Correct? That's this. Okay. Now, this is called Rediscovering the Christmas Season. And what I want you to do is I want us to intentionally not miss Christ this year. And I have given this to you so you can put it anywhere you want. And each day, read part of the Christmas series. Now, on top of disciple reading, yes, for many of you. So what you're going to do is here's the cool thing. You don't have to start this till the 1st, which is what, next Saturday? Correct? And it will take you right up to Christmas Day. If you want to do something really challenging, something that's nearly impossible, something that you will no way be able to do unless you really want to, is put the whole family together and read it together. Wouldn't that be awesome? That you can celebrate this? You guys are already saying, well, how in the heck are we going to do that? It'd be fun to try to find out, wouldn't it? Guess what? Anybody got phones that you can call anybody anytime you want? You can FaceTime somebody and read together. Wouldn't that be cool? You can Skype a group of people and do it. Find creative ways to utilize it. And here's some other things. If some of you are tech savvy, who considers yourself tech savvy and have smartphones and iPads and all those kinds of things, here you go. You're going to lose this sheet of paper, aren't you? Maybe on purpose. But you're going to lose it. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a program, and it's free. Anybody say free? Free. Anybody like free? Always. Here's a free program. It's one of the greatest free programs ever. It's called YouVersion. Anybody have YouVersion? Got a billion different Bibles on there. What you do, and I gave you a clip from my iPhone. Ready? Here we go. This was from my iPhone last night. You open it up. It gives you a verse of the day. See that? Matthew 22. 37 through 39, that was the verse for yesterday. You see where it goes down, it says read, and then it has start plans. You click on that button, it opens start plans. You type into it, rediscovering the Christmas season. You do a search. Oh my, look what comes up right here. Start plan, rediscover the Christmas season. And you start on the 1st of December. And each day there's something there. And then they give you a little devotion with it that talks about the Advent season and the importance of that. Does that seem pretty easy? Anybody got a phone with you? There we go. You can do that right now and get it all ready. Start on the 1st. So it takes you right up through Christmas and learn some more. So it takes you with you. Anybody doesn't have a smartphone but has a computer? Look up youversion.com. Guess what? How much does it cost? Free. I feel like I'm running an infomercial here. Free. It's free to you. Free. I like free. It's got all kinds of other scriptures. But I want you to join me this Christmas in being intentional about having Christ front and center. Isn't this a cool way to do this? Now, why wait to Christmas Eve to read the Christmas story? I mean, we'll do it, because it's always fun too, isn't it? It's part of our tradition, and tradition ain't bad. But let's just embrace Jesus this season. Now, I'm gonna tell you, we're going to kick some more up about some of the chaos in Christmas chaos. But one of the things, next week, we've got a different type of service. We've been working hard for a long while, and our leadership team's been doing some major things. I think it's really funny the week before that we don't have any heat here. I think that's God's sense of humor. But, you know, we're driving to what we believe God has called us to do. And there's some major decisions. And there's some major things. Remember we talked about giving out of what we have and sacrificially? You know, that's going to come down to a point where, you know, every once in a while people will say to me, Jack, I love your church, and some of you may have said that to me, and I'll say, it's not mine. Ever heard me say that, anybody? It's not mine? It's not mine. Never going to be mine. I am just who God has called to step out here. It's our church, right? Who's this church belong to? Us. This is us. And where this church goes is where we follow God obediently. We've come a long way. I think it's really cool that we got more people here on a freezing Sunday with no heat than some people do with a lot of heat in a building. Because God wants to do something here. So this week, I want you to just pray about God opening your heart. And saying, God, if I'm one of those wise men that's bringing something to you, I want you to hear my heart. And next week, we're going to share about the vision where we believe God is placing us for haven. I mean, believe me, God has closed doors, locked them shut, and then opened other doors. But when it comes down to it, we're all in the same boat. And there's nothing more than I'd love to, from heaven, get a glimpse of this place 200 years from now or until the Lord returns with none of us here, unless some of us really know some secret that I don't, and seeing people, this be one of the most open places to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. We had a lady who's been very sick and with fibromyalgia who was helped with missions when we first came here. And she said, all I get to see is that I see a map of the influence that God has for this church. That's in our hands. And you know what? We can't be too busy in our life to keep Christ out of it. So this week, what I want you to do is just pray about how God is leading you. And just come with an open heart to hear what gift God has for us. Anybody like gifts? Remember? And it's a free gift. God loves to give free things. So next Saturday, we're going to start what? Rediscovering Christmas season? I'm going to quiz you on what verse it is next week, so you better jump in. And then we're going to celebrate where God has brought us as we wind down pretty soon, in another month, this fifth season of ministry, entering our sixth, and what God is calling us to do. All right? So a little bit of different service. And I just want you to, right now, we're going to ask praise team to come up. Bobby, would you mind praying with people today? I'm gonna play guitar today. But I'd just like you to stand where you are. If you're visiting with us today, this is just a little bit different to kick off the Christmas season. Next week, we're going to dig in a lot deeper and look at some other things. Bow your heads with me. Lord God, this is a crazy time of year. We're not telling you anything we don't know. We've just come off the high of a couple days off and focusing on family and enjoying that, and then running around trying to get stuff done to get a head start. And God, before we know it, we're going to be staring there, and it's going to be the Sunday before Christmas, and we're going to have a great worship service that day of just song and worship. And we're going to be going, God, you know, gosh, I just love you, and I just feel, how did I let another year go by without this? Without making you center of my life. And we'll be making all kinds of new commitments and kind of focuses for our next year. But God, in the meantime, you've called us to be a church, be a people that don't keep our room and have no room for you in our lives, but to open up the doors and not be like the innkeeper of the people who were self-focused or gave out of just what we wanted to, but that we gave you of our entire lives, of our best, that we were the innkeeper that said, here, go ahead, take my room. So Lord, right now, I ask right now that if someone's here who just doesn't know you, that right now in their lives you can say, God, just come into my heart and take my life. I've done enough with it, and I'm just struggling right now. And so Lord, just move mightily in this remaining time, that we may be the church that you call us to be. That I may be the pastor that you call me to be. That I may be the husband and father. That I may be the worker and the servant that you want me to be. But most of all, God, that I will just let you be the Lord of my life. If there's somebody here who needs to do that, just let them. Somebody here who just hasn't over the last month or the last couple of years, or just because of what's going on in life, just to step back and say, God, you have no room. I have no room for you in my life. That they'll just open up at this moment and give you residence in their heart and their lives and become a Christian here today. And God, in everything else that this world gives to us, it seems so important, but when it comes down to it, all we need is just for you to give us Jesus. And we give you praise in who you are. Amen.